Purchasediamo espetentando. Purchasediamo espetando. Purchase. Come on, are you getting it? Join in. Yeah, Purchasediamo espetentando.
Purchase.
It's Italian for why are we waiting? Why
right.
Why are we waiting? Well, according to Google Translate, it is anyway. I don't know. I'm going to be saying anything.
Right.
So that was the idea.
I don't know if it's pronounced like that, maybe.
No, probably not quite the right accent. Exactly.
No, probably not.
Near enough.
And why are you singing that?
Well, because we are still waiting. I swear, like, it was like a month. It feels like a month ago
that
we were saying,
yeah,
it's going to be next week. We're going to know where in Italy the Eurovision Song Contest 2022 will be held. We still don't know.
We still don't
know. So please, Italy, Eurovision, Purchasediamo aspettando. Welcome to Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
And if you want to write your complaints about Martin's Italian accent and pronunciation, they do go to martin.williams@gmail.com. That isn't an actual email address, but
no,
send them to
say,
that
that's
anyway.
That's not my email. It's not my
no,
email
no,
address.
I know. That is an actual email address, but still send them to that. Still send
just
it.
Just email nullpoispodcast@gmail.com. I actually want to read them.
Oh,
nullpoispodcast@gmail.com. Come on, let's have it. I'm up for
right,
it.
Right, that's great. But if you could address it to Martin, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. Care of Martin. Care of Laura Cress.
No.
But address it to me. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. But yes, welcome to Nullpois. I am Laura. That's Martin, who you should be addressing those complaints to. We are a UK-based Eurovision fan podcast. We love Eurovision. We don't know everything about it, but we are trying to learn. And as Martin said, we still don't know the host city.
No,
for goodness sakes, for Eurovision 2022.
Before we get into all this, can I just say welcome back?
Thank you.
And it was lovely having Liz
on last
week.
I've not been kidnapped.
You know, I was going to say, you made it back. And did you have a nice time in Jersey?
I had a lovely time in Jersey. It was great. Really enjoyed Jersey. It's such a nice place. And we were lucky. The weather was really nice. And it's just beaches and lovely seafood. So yeah, it was really great. But thank you to Liz, who stood in for me, who did a great job. Thank you very much, Liz, from Douze Poir.
Yeah, she was absolutely brilliant. And I might sack you off and just get her to do all of them. She just gives me less grief, do you know what I mean?
Right.
She was like happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's talk about some Eurovision stuff, shall we?
Yes.
And you might remember a little while ago we were talking about Spain and the way that Spain chooses its entry to the Eurovision Song Contest every year, and they have a big old shindig, which we now know a little bit more about.
Yes, well, this is the inaugural one. They've done it differently before, but Benidorm Fest is kind of a new thing. It's sort of new, it's sort of not. It's coming from something older, but it's the first form of Benidorm Fest. It's going to be three televised shows, which they're going to find Spain's representative, as you've said, this year. Applications are now open, and the broadcaster RTVE has also revealed six artists will compete in both of the two semi-finals, with three progressing from each to the grand final. And then they'll be chosen by a vote decided by a 50-50 split, a professional jury, 60 national, 40 international, and the general public. So it looks like, you know, Spain is taking this pretty seriously, really. There's going to be 12 songs, as I said, and three shows. So a fair bit going on there. What do you make of that, Martin?
Well, I'd just like to see, and I you know, there's a lot of details there about exactly how they're doing it, but it boils down to, as you say, they are taking it seriously. And that, I think, bodes really well. I'm not sure, and again, I feel like a lot of correction corners could be happening from this episode. I don't know, I've got a feeling about it, right? But I am trying to think of the last sort of really successful Spanish entry into Eurovision. And like, off the top of my head, I can't quite think of what
that
might
have
been.
I know
it was...
Look.
It was Blas Canto, wasn't it? Of course, last year.
Yeah.
Who went down really well with the fans. Sorry, this year. Who and last year, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Who went down really well with the fans, you know, with the Spanish public. And I'm just,
go
ahead.
So I think their last best result was in 1969. And can you tell me anything interesting about that year, Martin, in Eurovision history?
Wasn't that the year where about five all won at once?
Yes, it was four, but yes. So the last time that Spain won was actually three other people won as well. Three other countries won as well. United Kingdom, Spain, the Netherlands and France. We have touched on this in a previous episode, but 1969 in Eurovision history was the first time four countries tied and won the contest, and they had to split. They won between them, basically. That's never happened again. They've stopped that winning. They've stopped that happening. But yeah, there you go. So that was the last time that Spain won, 1969.
Yeah, and it just, well, it hasn't won since, obviously. And it hasn't, I feel in recent years, it hasn't been a major player at the top of the table from memory. Lots of caveats from memory.
Well, 2014.
To the best of my knowledge. Yeah.
Yes, I'm liking all the caveats. Well, 2014, it came 10th, and that's been its best recent. 2014 also came 10th. 2012. So it's been 10th a couple of times, and that's been its best result for quite some time. Up until 2003, where it was 8th. So a bit similar to the UK, I would say, really.
Yeah. So come on, Spain. Really, pull your finger out, and it sounds like this is maybe a way to make that happen, taking it seriously and really giving it a good go with a proper big TV thing, a big festival. Liz was talking last week about how it's done in Australia and the fact that there is this huge event on the Gold Coast where they throw a lot at it.
Yeah.
And that's worked well for Australia in the past. You know, Australia's had some really, really good entries. Maybe this could work for Spain. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they come up with in 2022.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's worth saying as well, all songs must include lyrics in either Spanish or one of Spain's other official languages. It can have up to 35%, which is very specific when it comes to languages, of its lyrics in another language. I just imagine someone sort of doing percentage calculators of songs being like, oh, sorry, you've got 40% in English. Please, could you chop a couple of ands and thes out of there, and then we'll get that total down. But yeah, that's what they're saying.
This is Null Poor and plenty still to come, talking Måneskin in just a little bit. And of course, trivia time will return, but a little bit of sad news now. And coronavirus has been dominating not just headlines around the world, but it's been dominating news about Eurovision for the last 2 years for understandable reasons. And again, some more really, really sad news about the awful work that this virus has been doing.
That's right. Yeah, unfortunately, very sad news, as you said. Armenia's entry for Eurovision 2007, Heiko, sadly died of COVID-19. He was only 48 as well. So very sad. And the Eurovision community, obviously really sad about this. He was actually Armenia's second ever Eurovision entrant. He sang Anytime You Need. And it finished in 8th place as well. So did really well. And it's always a sad one when someone from the community passes away. And I think obviously, particularly with something like COVID, and you know, if they're at still quite a young age. So yeah, lots of the community you know, giving their well wishes to his family, and just, you know, sharing moments of that competition as well.
Yeah, and thoughts from here, by the way, are null part to his family too. It's been a devastating time for so many families right around the world, and this is another example of it hitting a community, and this time it's the Eurovision community. I just want to mention the opening lyrics, because a lot of people talking about this at the moment, the opening lyrics to that song, Anytime You Need, because they, I think, are really kind of hitting home in a different way now following his death, which are, why, baby, tell me, why does someone always say goodbye? Which I think is really poignant, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Sorry about that. Bit of sad news for you on the podcast, but it's something that I know we really wanted to talk about because it's real life, and in a way that's what Eurovision is. It celebrates the quirky and the ridiculous and the fun, but also there are sad elements to it as well, and that's what's happened here. Moving on to some more light-hearted news, and we are, since their win in May, we have been closely following the work of Måneskin, who've been out and about doing stuff and just going from strength to strength, being this huge world-dominating force. Now they seem to be everywhere at the moment, and they're going on tour.
They are going on tour. Lots of Måneskin news, to be fair. There's loads going on. They are going on tour to loads of different places, including London, excitedly. I know you're excited about that, Martin.
Oh, I cannot wait to not go and see them. Yeah.
Oh, Martin. London. I mean, this is all 2022. London, Brussels, Luxembourg, Warsaw, Vienna, Paris, Zurich, Berlin, Prague, Budapest, Amsterdam, Kiev, Moscow, St. Petersburg, Tallinn, Riga. So a big world tour for Måneskin, a European and UK tour, but yeah, they're a big tour they're doing there. They also revealed that there's going to be a release of a new single called Mamma Mia. Not Mamma Mia.
Oh.
Not Mamma Mia.
Right.
Yeah, that it's called, yeah, Mamma Mia. Yes, that's right. What did I say first? Mamma Mia.
Yeah, you said Mamma Mia.
It's Mamma Mia, but it's all one word. That's what, right, I was trying to get across there, but it's quite hard to... It's Mamma Mia, but it's all one word. So it's sort of Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Very
quickly. Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's not, they've not separated, so it's Mamma Mia, all one word. That is coming out October the 8th. And it's worth saying, if you've heard me say about the... about all these dates and stuff, you're thinking, oh, London, I could go to there, I could go to Paris. They've basically all sold out already. They sold out within 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, which is crazy, isn't it? So,
and
sorry,
do you know
to
what sort of
news.
Venues that they're playing?
So I know in London it's like Brixton Academy, which is a pretty big venue, like big artists play there. So it's not like a small area. It's still like an academy. It's not like a stadium, obviously, but it's still fairly big. It's sold out. Who knows? They might add more dates possibly, or, you know, I'm sure closer to the time you can, there might still be some tickets available, so don't hear this and think, oh no, I've missed my chance. I'm sure there's, you know, there will be ways if you really want to go, still going. I'm pretty sure of that, but it's just, it's great to hear how quickly they've sold out within 2 hours.
Yeah, and it goes back to a conversation I know we've had before, which is, what's the reason for that?
Yeah.
And how much, or to what extent, does their Eurovision win translate into fans worldwide? I would argue that they have Eurovision to thank in an enormous way.
Oh, for definitely.
Propelling,
for sure,
them onto the world stage. But as we've discussed, they seem to be distancing themselves slightly from the contest. You know, they've removed a lot of "we won the Eurovision" from a lot of their website and their social media, which I know angered a lot of Eurovision fans. So maybe they don't think it's had such a big effect.
Maybe. I don't, it's very hard to know. And, it, you know, I never really want to sort of pretend that we know how a band is thinking or anything like that, because they do still engage with their Eurovision fans, just maybe not quite in that way. So you're right, it's hard to know. I don't want to speak for a band, basically. And fair play if they want to move on from that success and build more from it. That's fair enough. I get why maybe they want to do that. And they've had success with loads of success on TikTok, so they are trying to build that bridge as well. I mean, a lot of people on social media suggesting it could be a cover of the ABBA hit that's going to come out on October the 8th. What would you make of that, seeing them cover Mamma Mia?
Well, I mean, to be fair, one of their most well-known songs, arguably, is a cover.
Yeah.
You know, Begging, because that's gone massive online, hasn't it? So I wouldn't put it past them.
I'd love to see that if they did a cover of Mamma Mia. I think it would be great. I think they'd do a really interesting cover of it. So I'd love to see it. It's worth saying, by the way, as well, there's going to be some listening parties. So here's news we can tell you that you can actually take part in, as opposed to the gigs. They're going to do a listening party on October the 7th at 9 o'clock CEST, which I believe would be Central European time. So that's what,
That's an hour ahead of us, isn't it?
That's an hour ahead, so eight if you're in the UK, but check that anyway. But yeah, basically all systems go for Måneskin. I'm very excited to see if they do an ABBA cover.
Oh, I would love it. Wouldn't that be absolutely brilliant? Wouldn't that be brilliant? Correspondence to come, but first, Chris.
Yes.
What is it time for?
Trivia time!
Oh, yes. It's the bit of the podcast where either Chris or myself give you a little bit of information about the Eurovision Song Contest that you probably didn't know. And it's Chris's turn this week.
Yes. And I thought I'd just dive into, because we were talking about Eurovision 2007, because that's sadly when Heiko, who performed, that's the year he performed and he sadly passed away. So I thought we'd just look into 2007, because when I was looking into it, I realised it was quite a year of firsts for the Eurovision Song Contest. Yeah, there was a lot of firsts going on. It was the first time that Finland hosted the competition because, of course, who won the year before with Finland?
Lordi,
yes, well done. Just, you know, keep on your toes. It's the first time Finland hosted the competition. It was the first time Czech Republic and Georgia competed in the competition. It was also the first time Montenegro and Serbia took part as independent nations. And amazingly, Serbia won as well. It was the first time they've ever won, and they won as the first time they were taking part as an independent nation. They won with Molitva, of course, performed by Marija Cerovic. I can never say her name properly. I apologise now. Look, I'm not very good with my Serbian, but beautiful song that, isn't it? And as I said, it was their first victory in the contest and the first they competed as an independent nation. And not only that, that's not the only first as well. It was also the first year that the event was broadcast live in high definition.
I had a little guess about that as a little fact. I was keeping it
Did
to
you?
Myself,
yeah.
But I thought, because I thought it'd be a bit too nerdy, but we're going there anyway.
Sorry, it's very nerdy, and here we are.
Because a little while ago, Eurovision again rebroadcast the 2006 yes. thing, the 2006, which was like their trial run in high definition. And so it makes sense that the following year they'd give it a go in full HD.
Yeah, so it was the BBC in the United Kingdom. They broadcast the final in high definition on BBC HD, and Swedish broadcaster SVT, they broadcast both the semi-final and the final on their HD channel, SVT HD. The event, though, is only available, I love this, to buy on standard definition DVD with no HD DVD or Blu-ray version available in high definition. So basically, you cannot watch it in HD, even though it was broadcast and filmed in it. Unless there'll be some tape somewhere of it available, yeah. But you won't be able to buy it.
Yeah, you can't have it. Also, who is buying the Eurovision Song Contest DVDs? Who's doing
People
that?
I mean, do, Martin.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
I just
think.
Are you
suggesting
because it's quite hard? It's actually quite hard to watch them back on like you could think, oh well, you just watch it back on YouTube, but actually they're not all available.
No,
so
they're not.
People
no,
do
no.
keep it as a memento.
Oh yeah, fair enough. I'm not
Martin.
Just saying anything against it. I'm just saying,
well,
you know, who's
you
doing it.
I don't know
what the market is. I don't know what the market is for. It's a live show, you'll be watched live. Anyway, thank you very much for that particular edition of
Trivia Time.
Yep, Trivia Time going to be back next week, as are we. And thank you very much for getting in contact over the last little while. It's been lovely to hear from you. And what have people been saying, Chris, when they've been getting in touch with the old podcast?
Yeah, well, I should say, by the way, thank you so much to everyone who's been subscribing to our YouTube channel. We've had lots of new people subscribing recently, so thank you so much for that. Did you know, by the way, Martin, we had a YouTube channel? I didn't know if you knew.
Well, no, thank you for bringing it to my attention, actually, because it had slipped my mind.
Good. I'm glad. Well, we do have a YouTube channel. We've got quite a lot of videos on there now. It's basically where we go through and we decide if past Eurovision entries that got Norpoir deserved Norpoir. We take a look at them and we react to the videos and we decide ourselves. Now, thank you very much to, who was it? Miss Cara Mint, who commented on an Austria video we had saying, I'm not really left with any impression of what the melody or of this song was. I'm just confused. And I think that's a fair summary. I think we agreed with that impression as well, to be fair, at the time. It was Austria's Mona Lisa, which got the Nord Poir. Do you remember that one?
Oh, I do.
So appreciate your comments. Do let us know if you think if you agree with us, if we said it didn't or did deserve Nord Poir. Let us know. We've got loads of videos up there. We've got Gemini as well up there. But of course, we also have other ways for you to get in touch. You don't have to just get in touch with us on YouTube. We've got an Instagram page, Nord Poir Podcast. We've also got a email address if you just want to send us any. If you want to say, actually, Martin, I do buy Eurovision DVDs.
Yeah,
I love
I've got
them
all. I've got a shelf with just wall-to-wall Eurovision DVDs.
I'd actually love to see.
One on every night.
It'd be great if some people could take a picture. If you've got Eurovision DVDs, take a picture of them, send it to us. Because I want to prove Martin wrong here, actually, that loads of people do get the DVDs. So send us a picture of your DVDs, of your DVD collection. Just of Eurovision, though. I don't want to see, like, Pulp Fiction and all that kind of stuff. Just Eurovision. Send us your pictures of your Eurovision DVD collections to nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, we are on Twitter @poirnull as well. So you can do it by that if you want to.
I'm very glad that you were back to do that because I tried last week and just sort of gave up the middle. Cress normally does this. I'm just confused as to what's
dear.
Going on.
Look, I see. It just rolls off the tongue now. Do you see how easily and smoothly I did?
Yeah,
that?
No, I was
I'm not even looking at anything there. I'm just doing it off the top of my head.
Well, I'm very impressed. It was
see,
better
I can
than
keep
I.
My job, can't I?
Yeah, you can. You can actually. Yes. You can come back next week if you can be bothered. We will do. We will do another edition of Nord Poir. Thank you very, very much for your company, and we'll see you again very, very soon on the next edition of
Nord Poir. Yeah, one thing is I will be in Glasgow for a bit next week, but we'll deal with that.
God.